But our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the movie The Terminal, anybody see The Terminal? Not to be confused with The Terminator, you've probably seen The Terminator. Tom Hanks, he plays this fella, Victor Navorsky, traveler from a fictional country of Cracovia, but upon arriving in New York City to the International Kennedy International Airport, he finds that his passport is no longer valid. So he can't enter the United States. The United States no longer recognizes Cracovia as that was his country, as a sovereign nation because of an outbreak of civil war there. And Victor is not permitted to enter the U.S. or he is not able to even to return home. So he is a stateless man. He has no country. Because of this, customs and the immigration seize his passport and airline ticket. And with no choice, there he is. He has to settle into the terminal, the airplane terminal, and all he has is his luggage and a little can, Planters peanut can. Finally, according to the movie, anyway, after many twists and turns, including a love interest, including numerous interactions with a mega maniacal customs director, and even gets an under-the-table job working as a construction crew there in the airport, he learns on the TV that the war is over. The war in Cracovia is over, and he must now immediately fulfill his mission that he came to do. But he can't do it. He has to return home. They're saying, okay, you can finally go home. But he says, I can't. I have a mission to do. It's a fun movie. Everyone should get a chance to see it at least once. And though it was some time ago I saw it, I was reminded of this Philippians chapter 3, verses 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, on this weekend of 4th of July, that is what we, in a sense, do. We celebrate and recognize the fact that we live in the freest country in the world, the United States of America. We celebrate that with fireworks and we grill out and we're with our family and friends. But I want to talk a little bit about a Greek word here. The idea of the citizenship. Our citizenship is from heaven. That can be easily overlooked, for the word in the Greek is politeuma, pronounced politeuma. And it's rendered, it actually means a commonwealth or a colony. Well, commonwealth isn't a word we use every day, is it? Unless you are from the great states of Kentucky or Massachusetts or Virginia, a lot of times they won't call themselves a state, they call themselves a commonwealth. You may have heard of that before. But the word colony or commonwealth or colony may be a bit more familiar to us, especially if you're a Trekkie fan or a sci-fi fan. You think about the idea of this cute community as an extension of the motherland sort of thing. And maybe you heard of the word colony back in your elementary social studies class when we were taught about the history of the United States and the original 13 colonies. I'm not going to name those 13 because I probably couldn't do that, but you know they're all kind of on the East Coast, right? And so perhaps a more accurate translation of the first part of this Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 might be, we are a colony of heaven's citizens, instead of we are citizenship in heaven. Because we're not really in heaven, but we are kind of like a colony from the motherland. And here we are, planted and blooming on earth. Now to us living in the 21st century, this variation will seem fairly innocuous, even inconsequential. But let's for a moment view it from the perspective of the Philippians. The Philippians were a colony, and that is why Paul uses the word. And they're not just any colony, they're a Roman colony. And that means they have status and privileges depending, well, they were a special type of colony. Okay, there's three types of colonies. According to one resource I looked at, there was the very early, those of the early republic in which the colonists were established in conquered towns to serve as guardians of the frontier. So Well, that kind of sounds sci-fi, doesn't it? The guardians of the frontier. They're out there from the motherland, and they're out there establishing the law and the culture, and they're trying to keep the peace because they're the colony. And because of their special type of colony, they were exempt from things like military service or they had Roman citizenship. Those are very important things if you're a Roman colony. So that's the first type of colony. The other one was to promote agrarian reforms. So if they were giving people land, you know, back, remember when in the United States when we were kind of just becoming a new country and they had these crazy contests where the government was basically giving away land, so you had to go plant your flag somewhere out there in the plains in Oklahoma. Okay. And they were out there and they got their 160 acres or whatever they did, and they started working the land and producing the food. Well, that was another special Roman colony. The third type was for military veterans. So they got lands too because they had done their duty in the Roman service, and now they could now have that retirement. And with that came a nice chunk of land. So Philippi, or you know, Paul is writing to the Philippians and to the people of Philippi, and he uses this idea about the colony with those folks. And should we be surprised that Paul would take what is these people understood in their minds, and he would apply it, give it a spiritual twist to it a little bit to make his point? And that is what he's doing. For example, in Acts 23, verse 1, Luke records Paul before the Sanhedrin, and he says something like this: "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." And in a sense, when he says that, he uses another term that is very closely related with polyteuma, the colony. He says polytemo, which means to live as a citizen. And not only, just a citizen of Rome, a citizen of God, kingdom. That's what he's saying, because he uses the little phrase connected with it, to Theo, which means to God. I am living my life, well, to God or for God, because I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. That's what he says there. And basically what he's always saying is, whether you are a Roman colonist or wherever you live, it doesn't matter your address, we have a responsibility to God's kingdom, no matter our address. Yes, we are fortunate to live and blessed to live in America. I mean, we could have end up been born anywhere in the world, but whether it was America or Russia or Ukraine I know my one daughter, she's really liking to watch a lot of the Chinese movies right now. So she has this idea that she wants to go visit China someday. I told her, China's not like you see on TV, honey. I'm sorry. But here's the interesting thing about Paul's talk about the heavenly kingdom and his citizenship of that. Is right before that, Paul talks about his citizenship as being a Roman. And he actually uses his Roman citizenship to get out of a beating. He was going to get illegally, you know, flogged or something. And he says to them, "You can't do that to me. I appeal to Caesar. I want to go because I'm a Roman citizen." And when they heard about that he was a Roman citizen, we can't go ahead with this punishment. But right after that, after using his Roman card, he uses Roman citizenship card, then he uses his kingdom card. And he says that even though I'm a Roman citizen, that takes a back seat to my citizenship in the kingdom of God. And we need to remember that. Because here, we need to ask ourselves, it's like this fella who's caught in the terminal, Victor Navorsky, he's caught in the terminal, he can't go into the U.S., he's a man without a country, he can't go home because his passport has been confiscated, and so he's caught between his true home, and it's like us as Christians. We are, in a sense, caught between our true home in heaven and our sense, our alien status on earth. We have no place to go. As a matter of fact, Peter, the Apostle Peter, says something similar to this when he says in his first letter, he says, to God's elect, he opens it up in this way and he says, elect strangers in the world. Now I guess The question becomes, do you feel like a stranger in the world? I'm afraid some of us are so familiar with the world that we don't feel strangers at all with the world. I'm not sure that's how we should be as Christians. A Christian status on earth should be viewed, in a sense, as Peter describes here, as alien and temporary, where our real home is with God in heaven. And I'm not saying we should dampen our spirits about being U.S. citizens and the great blessings and privileges it is, because it is. And we think about those who went and sacrificed their very lives to give us that, and all through the history. But if I were to ask you to close your eyes for a moment, you know, and think to yourselves and think about home, well, where is that going to lead our mind and our thoughts? When I do that, you know, if I were to say, hey, I want you to click your heels three times together like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and say there's no place like home, where are you going to end up? Will our thoughts turn to heaven? I doubt it. Why, we've never been to heaven. Yes, God tells us something about that's our eternal home and our rest, but let's face it, none of us have been there. Only one that's been to heaven is the one who came from heaven to earth and then returned to heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord. But my thoughts, when someone says, think about home, I end up somewhere back in Wisconsin, walking along the streams, the backwoods of my youth. That's where I think about home. That's my earthly home. I remember when I first moved to Montana a few years ago now. I was back in 2010. Was it 2010? It was 2010, yes. We moved to Montana, and this one fella, very nice fella, he helped me move things to the storage because I didn't have a place to live yet. You know, the family wasn't even in Montana yet. They were back in Oregon at that time. See, I can't remember what state we were in, but I remember putting all our stuff in storage, and the fella says to me, he goes, welcome home. And I thought that was kind of strange. It's like, well, you know, this isn't my home yet. I don't feel home. And I understand what he was saying. He was saying, well, I hope someday that you'll feel like this is home. I knew what he was saying. I don't want to give anybody a guilt trip and say, hey, you know, you should be thinking about heaven more as Christians. I mean, should be thinking about heavenly things. That's what the Bible says, you know. If we're fixated and obsessed about things on earth, then our attention is not in the right place. We need to think more about heaven. But it's difficult to think about a place that we've never been to. We've never experienced it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, I mentioned this earlier, John chapter 3, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus is really our only authority about heaven and the Word of God about heaven. So as much as I believe in heaven, which I do, I'm quite skeptical of anybody who says, oh, I was in heaven and I'm coming back to tell you about what I saw. That to me, you know, I have a red flag about that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, they come back and say, I want to fill you in on some of the details. Because when I think about it, if I'm in heaven, why would I ever want to come back to earth? I don't want to do that. I'd feel terrible coming back to earth after experiencing a little bit of heaven. And even the Apostle John, who gives us a vision of heaven, he only received it from the risen Lord himself. He never went to heaven, but the risen Lord told him about it in the Revelation. But here's the point in all this, because I know it's getting warm in here a bit. How are we to live when we find ourselves away from home and in a place that's not exactly our home? That's how we are as Christians. We're away from home because our home is our heaven. And Peter has, again, said that we are aliens and strangers of this world, so we're kind of caught a little bit here. We're in this colony, remember? Our citizenship is in heaven, but we are a colony of the motherland, which is heaven. You see, there's many people who are Roman citizens who had never been to Rome before. Like in Philippi, that was 800 miles from Rome. They may have some of the privileges and perks of being a Roman citizen, but they'd never been there. They never experienced the great architecture of Rome. They never... So as Christians, how are we to... For one, are we supposed to try very hard to assimilate into our temporary home so that in the end you can't really tell the difference between the natives and the aliens? Are we supposed to be like the Amish people who, what have they done? They've really tried to separate themselves completely from, even though they live in America, they do some interaction with U.S. citizens. A lot of times they stay separate. Or is there a middle ground? So not totally assimilating, so you can't tell the Christians from the non-Christians. We can't be like that. I don't think we can be complete separatists like, say, the Amish are trying to do. There's got to be a middle ground. And maybe one way to look at that is what Jesus said. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out and he will have pasture. He will go out and find pasture. In other words, Jesus describes a coming in and a going out that really reminds us of freedom. And that's what we talk about on the 4th of July weekend. We celebrate our freedoms as a citizen of the United States. But he's talking about a freedom in Christ that allows us to be led by God. If we're led by God, there's freedom in that. Especially in the midst of a world right now that is quite, in many ways, hostile to God and His ways. Completely turned against Him. Wants to forget Him. In a coming in and a going out, we find freedom and we find the courage to live in the temporal while we live for the eternal. Because what we see here is temporal. As beautiful as it is, as blessed as it is, and as how it has blessed us, we need to find the freedom and the courage to live in the temporal. And believe me, that takes strength. That takes God's strength in our life. Every day we are bombarded with the idea that this is all there is in life. Go for the gusto. You ever heard that? That's an old beer commercial from way back in the 70s. You know, you only live once. You only go around once. So go for the gusto. Life is short. We must consume it like some sort of energy drink. A lot of energy drinks out there now, and I wouldn't recommend them, personally. And true, the Bible does say that life is short, but it doesn't say this life is all there is. Because the Bible says, yeah, you can maybe live 70 or 80 years if you have strength, the Bible says. You see, life on earth is only the beginning. Eternal life with God is found in faith in His Son. But getting back to the movie for a moment, when I opened about, did you know that this movie, The Terminal, it was loosely based on a person who actually lived in an airport, and he did it for 18 years in Paris, France, at the Charles de Gaulle airport. He finally had to leave due to health conditions. So I guess they finally let him go to the hospital or something. He was a Iranian refugee. So he couldn't come into the country. He couldn't get back to his own country. But here's the thing. In that movie, Victor Navorsky never stopped living when he was between these two places. He never stopped living. He could have just sulked in the corner and had a mental breakdown. I probably would have done that. Every time he was rejected at the customs desk for not having the correct form or the paperwork, he could have just given up hope. He could have become a thief and a beggar and just tried to panhandle his way to surviving. He didn't do that because he was a man of principle. He could have become angry and hostile and jealous as he looked at all the travelers going to and fro and getting to their places they wanted to go. But he couldn't. But he did none of this. Instead, is very comical in that he was very creative. He was friendly. He was helpful. He was patient. And above all, he never lost his focus. He never forgot his focus. Because he was on a mission for his father. His father had sent him on a mission to go to America. And he was there to fulfill it. And so, obviously, we can make the connection. It was so neat to see Julie up here with the kids to actually read the word and then try to apply it and actually take action. Isn't that what James says? Don't just merely read the word, but do what it says to do. That's the big challenge for us, isn't it? Not just to fill our head with knowledge, but to take it and put it into action. And what does that mean? It may mean going and telling somebody about how God has blessed you. It may mean telling your testimony about how you were saved or how you were in the miry pit and the Lord pulled you out. We all have those stories. I can look around. I see the faces in here. I know some of the amazing situations that you have been through personally. And how here you are on the other side and you're here rejoicing in God's faithfulness in your life. That's a tremendous blessing when I know those stories. You've told them to me. So it is with us. We're on a mission for our Father. He created us. You know these things. He provided for our physical needs. He provides for our emotional needs. He provides us our spiritual life through faith in His Son. Obviously, you know that but life isn't all about a bed of roses, right? That's when you think about the roses, what comes with the roses? The thorns, the things that prick you and they pain you and they actually can even draw blood. And that's just the physical damage. Well, I don't want to ruin the movie for you. Maybe you've never seen it. But He did finally accomplish His mission. And we might look at that mission that He finished doing and we think, well, that's pretty trivial. That wasn't really much at all what He had to do. But you see, it was extreme and extremely vital and important to fulfill that, for that Son to fulfill His Father's mission. Just like Christ's mission for His Father. And now our mission, if you're a believer in Jesus, our mission to bring honor and glory to that same Father through our words and our prayers and our deeds and our thoughts and through Christ-like character of patience and self-control and love and a character that resolves, that causes us to demonstrate resolve, especially in a time in our lives where sometimes we look at our country and we say, you know, I don't recognize this country anymore. This is not how I envision this country playing out. And then, just like Victor, he finished his task. We are going to finish our task someday. And we're going to be asked, Victor was asked at the end of the movie, he said, what are you going to do now, Victor? And his response was very simple. He says, I'm going home. I can go home. That's the confidence and the self-assurance and the peace that we can have too, as we carry out our responsibilities, when they're all said and done, when we're going to be able to say, we're going to go home too. Heavenly Father, we are reminded in Your Scriptures today that when we have faith in You, we can come in and we can go out and we can have pasture and we can experience the freedom of being a citizen of Your kingdom. We know over the weekend, many will celebrate being a citizen of the United States and enjoying the freedoms that we have here. We know that is not the truth in many parts of the world, that many people are under a lot of oppression and injustice and things that are just completely unrighteous. And we pray for them today. Whether they're in Russia or Ukraine or North Korea or Taiwan or, boy, Lord, the list can go on of nations and places that are desperately need freedom. We know that ultimate and true freedom comes through faith in Your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, help us as we go through the week, this week, to rely on You for the strength and the faith and the courage and the love that we need to put into practice Your words. Lord, as we read them, they jump off the page and they tell us that we must be active. Help us do that, Lord, and we will give You all the praise and the glory. Amen.